Parshas Kisavo. Moshe Rabbeinu is moving into the final stages of preparing Klal Yisrael for entry into Eretz Yisrael. And that includes preparing them not only for the ongoing mitzvahs, ledoros, the Tariq mitzvahs, ledoros, that the Jews will, some of which the Jews have already been keeping in the Midbar, others which will begin to apply when they get into Eretz Yisrael. But part of the preparation is also preparing them for unique horos shah, unique temporary mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael will only keep once as a part of the entry into Eretz Yisrael. And there are several pieces of that in Parshas Kisavo. And one of them appears at the end of the Perek of Zayin, in the fifth Aliyah. Moshe Rabbeinu explains to the Jewish people, and this is a sugya of several blot long in the seventh parak of Masechta Sota, the sugya of brachos and klalos. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, and they look at the geography. You cross the Yarden. We've already been hearing in Chumash Devarim that they are opposite Yericho, and they're going to cross the Yarden. As we know from Sefer Yeshua, they're going to be headed pretty quickly to Yericho. They're in that general area. And somewhat north of that, in the Shomron, are a pair of mountains, Har Grizim and Har Eval. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, very soon after you enter into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to head to those two mountains. You can have a one-time mitzvah, a Haroah Shah, to gather the 12 Shvatim in a very particular way. These Shvatim connected with Har Grizim, and these Shvatim on Har Eval, and Shevet Levi in the middle. And together you're going to pronounce a series of brachos and klalos. The psukim describe the klalos. Chazal point out that there was a positive bracha that went along with each klala. Baruch, blessed the one who does not perform this aveira, and Aror, cursed the one who does perform this aveira. And there's a series of specifics, an interesting series of specifics. Some Rishonim and Chumash point out Yechezkel and other Nevi'im sometimes will reference this list and quote large chunks of this list. It's an interesting, somewhat diverse list. You hear about Avodah Zarah, you hear about Arayos, then you hear about things which strike us perhaps as being of lesser severity. And perhaps the Torah is reminding us that although you don't get the kares typically for Averi Shebena Mochavero, they are equal parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of us. And someone who backstabs his friend is under an aura, and someone who trips other people up is under an aura, someone who's masik vul is under an aura, and so on, so over the whole list. And then finally, the psuk, after all the details of Gilui Arayos and bribery, corruption, and so on and so forth, the psukim end with the following pasuk. The last pasuk in Perek Chav Zayin, pasuk Chavav, you have at the top of the page, Arur, Ashelo Yokim is Divrei HaTorah Zos LaSos Osam. Cursed is the one who will not be making, who will not hold up, who will not uphold the words of this Torah, Divrei HaTorah HaZos. The words of this Torah LaSos Osam, to do them. What does that mean? Again, it means that they said, Baruch Asher Yokim is Divrei HaTorah Zos LaSos Osam. And they said, everyone said, Amen. And they said, Aru, Asher lo yakim, Mr. Ve'atar, Zos, Lasos, Osam. And everyone said, Amen. Anyone missing, or not have? A couple more copies here. So Rashi says, you see Rashi, today's copies are from the Taurus Chaim, that's the Masada Cook's edition of Mikros Gedolos. You have many different showing pages. So the top left, the Rishonim section, the Rashi says, Asher lo yakim kan kol HaTorah kula. Here, he's including, this pasuk includes everything. Kol HaTorah kula, the kiblu alem ba'ala uvishvur. And Klasal are accepting everything with the power of the bracha and with the power and severity of the swearing to it and accepting the Allah, accepting the curse, accepting this Ara. Well, what's Rashi speaking to? What question is Rashi responding to? Kedarko, what's the unspoken question? Again, Psukim Tetzvav through Chaf Hei were specifics. Or the one who will commit this aver, or the one who will commit that aver, this type of Gila Arayos, and that type of corruption, and murder, Avodah Zarah, so on and so forth. And then you have this pasuk. What's the obvious problem?
There are many other mitzvot. Why aren't they?
So on the one hand, well, there are many other, but how come these 11 made it in specifically? And, okay, so maybe one answer, the one question he's answering. Another question that he's answering is, the more obvious question when we look at this pasuk is, what does it mean? We give a whole bunch of specifics. And now this very general, so Rashi says, we highlight certain specifics, maybe reminiscent a little bit of the pasuk in Pesukim and Ekev that we've been involved with in learning Seil Bashar, a couple of specifics, and then something general that includes everything. Certain aviras get their own particular arur, and everything is covered, all targments are covered by the last one. The last one is the catch-all, the universal, generic catch-all, violating any halacha is included in an arur. So he turns to Ramban on the right side of the page. So he opens with Kan kol is kol atara kula v'kiblua aleihem ba'ala uveshvua l'shon Rashi. So that's what Rashi says. This includes everything. Now the problem with this is a problem that the Ramchal points out in the manuscript version of Maseilas Yesharim about the Pesukim in Ekev, which is you're just going to have an aura about everything. So why are you listing specifics? B'chol. But maybe it means some of those specifics require more chamor, they require their own R, either because they're more chamor, or halachically speaking, or because psychologically speaking, those are things that people are more likely to violate, and therefore you need the reinforcement of the public R. The Ramban seems to be bothered by this problem. Is there an R for all mitzvahs, or an R for specific mitzvahs? Well, what's going on here? Lefi daiti, Rabban says, I would think ki kabbalah hazos sheyode b'mitzvos belibo v'yu be'enav emes. The truth is, there's another. Yeah, as we're going to move on, the Rabban, we're going to see that there are other more subtle points that he sent it to. It is possible. So he says, I think that when we say being mekabbalah, he's either saying pshat and Rashi, or subtly disagreeing with Rashi. Rashi said they were makabal these mitzvahs. They were makabal all the mitzvahs. This kabbalah means that you yode be mitzvahs belibo. You admit, agree, accept the mitzvahs in your heart and mind. You be'enav emes. And you believe that they are real and true. What just changed already before we even go on? What's the difference between this pasuk and the preceding 11 pesukim, according to Ramban? Not only that this pasuk is global and general, what's it talking about? What part of your body is involved in violating this pasuk? He's not talking about if you're fulfilling the mitzvahs or not. He's not talking about if you're violating the aveiros or not. He's talking about, do you believe that they're true? The preceding 11 psukim were saying, Aur is a Jew, blessed is a Jew who is misgavar and is taivus and does not violate these heinous crimes. And cursed is a Jew who gives into temptation and violates these heinous averes. But still, that's been about performance. But the Ramban says, I think this pasuk is not about what you do, this pasuk is about what you believe. So, Yodim is, yes, you're talking about all the mitzvahs. We're not even talking about keeping all the mitzvahs. We're talking about accepting the mitzvahs. I am a shav myself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I believe this is that this halachic system is real and true. The yamin sha'osa osan yilos sachar v'tova v'ha'over alein yonish. I believe, I subscribe to the belief in Tzavi Yomish. And there are consequences to my actions, to my good actions, and to my unfortunate actions. And there are good consequences or unfortunate consequences. There's Tzavi Yomish. If a Jew denies a piece of halacha, denies that it's real, denies that it's everlasting, if a Jew believes that a Jew subscribes to a Christian or Muslim type of approach, that, you know, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvahs via Moshe, but that was then and this is now. And the Christians believe when Yashka came, you know, that there was a new covenant, and that they believe Rachman Son, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throughout Am Yisrael, throughout Torah mitzvahs, now there's a new way to worship him. And the Muslims, several centuries later, said essentially the same thing. Musa was the prophet, but then God spoke to the man who they believe is the supreme prophet, Muhammad, and then they believe in a doctrine of waqf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu abrogated the mitzvahs, and now there's a new system. We're supposed to follow the Quran instead. We reject both of those as utter kfira. And we believe, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us in the Torah, that those religions both believe was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells in the Torah multiple times that he does not plan to switch this for another. This is a durable system of halacha that will last for the extent of human living in Olam Hazeh. Timos Mashiach and beyond. So if a Jew, so the Rabban says, if a Jew doesn't accept a part of the Torah as binding, doesn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us one of the mitzvahs, or doesn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs apply throughout all the generations, that is Lo Yakim is Direi HaTorah Azos. He says, in that sense, from the Emunah purse, theologically, all mitzvahs are covered by an Arur. Aval in Arur al Achas Mehen. But let's say a Jew violates one of them, practically violates an Avir. Kigon Sha'ocha HaChazir, the Hashak et Tavaso. A Jew ate pork, a Jew went to Red Lobster. L'tavaso. It's not that he denies halacha. He gave it to, he knows it's the wrong thing to do. He's honest with himself. He gave it to temptation. He was weak. The flesh was weak. In a moment of temptation, he gave in. And there was a lot of social pressure. And looked so good. And all those ads with the lobster and the butter. And he gave in temptation. He tried it. So that's called violating l'tei avon. That's actually sugyas in the first parak of Chulin. And the Ramban is working off of. Is a fellow a mumur lahachis or a mumur l'te'avon? He's violating halalacha because he wants to stick it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or because he's denied the validity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the durability of the halachic system. That's version one. That's essentially lahachis. That's what he's describing as not accepting the mitzvah as opposed to l'te'avon. He knows it's the wrong thing to do, but he was hungry. It looked really good. There was a lot of pressure. Everyone was doing it. It's not that he theologically denies Shabbos, but Lamaisa, he found himself 3 years out of high school with a group of friends that are all Jewish, and slowly, one by one, they're comfortable going to shows on Friday night. And it's becoming increasingly hard to not. And so it was too hard to say no, so he went. But he accepts halacha, he just gave in to taiva. So he says, Oshlo asa sukkah velula of liatzla. He ate the pork because it looked really delicious. Or he didn't shake lulav because he was lazy. It's not that he denies sukkah and lulav. He didn't develop a whole ideology to back up his laziness. He's just lazy. He did the wrong thing. Einenu becher mazeh. Such a Jew who gives him to his Eitzahara, gives him to Taiva, does not fall under this curse. This curse is not, and that in that way he's either explaining Rashi or disagreeing with Rashi. Because simply reading Rashi, it sounded like 11 Averis were specifically cited as being an Arur, and then the 12th one means Vayil HaHalacha in general warrants an Arur. Rabban says, no, Vayil HaHalacha in general doesn't warrant an Arur. Specific Averis call for an Arur that the Torah enumerated in the preceding 11 Sukkim. And then what the Torah is addressing is not all that plus, the Torah is addressing a new issue. Up until this point, it was about actions, and this 12th pasuk is about emuna, about emuna's vidayas, about the danger of what sometimes will drive this is. The need to self-justify and rationalize taiva sometimes drives people to build a shita that it's actually appropriate. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu never meant it, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't apply anymore, as opposed to just being honest with oneself, here's a taiva that I have, everyone has many taivas, here's a taiva that I have, I gave in, and I'm going to try the tshuva. It's the best of my ability. So so the aura specifically, when it's not merely an act of an aveira, but an act of aveira that's rooted in kfir. Ela ama, kilo omar kasa shelo yases divrei Torah zos. Now the Rabban says, I'm not only suggesting this because after all it's miyashiv the kasha of how does this pasuk fit with the previous 12. He said it has to do with careful reading of this pasuk. And I mentioned the last week, Rabban is sensitive both to global and highly localized perspectives. He said, look at this whole parasha that seems to be the Derech HaMelech in terms of how to interpret this pasuk, and said, and let's read these words carefully. We're used to these words. So they sound like, you know, I said, what does the pasuk mean? Yeah, you didn't keep the halacha. Here's one second. Can we actually read the pasuk with open eyes? Asher lo yakim is devrei HaTorah zos asos osam. There is, as we started saying before, there's a second problem in the pasuk too. I asked you what might bother you. So one issue is how does it fit the rest? There's a lot of language here. Asher lo yakim is devrei HaTorah zos La so so so. Yak, there, how many verbs are there? Two. Yakim, la hakim, and la sos. To uphold and to do. Well, which one, what do those two words mean? Why do we need both of them? And which one is it? Or is it somehow both? So he says, lo amar kasar shalo yases divra Torah zos. That would have been much smoother and shorter. Aru shalo yases divra Torah zos. The Marco Amamein. What needs Yakim Lasos? To say, Yaseh, do. Someone who doesn't do the Torah, doesn't follow the Torah, doesn't practice halacha. He says, but that's not what the Pasuk said. If the Pasuk meant keeping all the mitzvahs behaviorally, Chovas Ha'ivarim, then that's what it would have said. But the Torah didn't say that. Instead, you have what looks at first to be convoluted. Ashol Yakim Lasos. It looks like it's convoluted. It's not. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Well, it looks unnecessarily long, but it is necessary. Why is it necessary? Because it's saying something else. If I just want ice cream, just ask for ice cream. Don't start telling me how many scoops you want, what type of cone you want, what flavor you want, what toppings you want, unless you actually care. If any ice cream will do, you just say, I'd like some ice cream. If you want something more specific, then you're going to specify. There's a reason to use more terminology if it's expressing something. So Rabban says, we're not just saying keeping the Torah. What does it mean, lahakim? Now, here's a nuance. In Mishnaic Hebrew, in Rabbinic Hebrew, to be mekayim, which is the same, a different binyan of the same shorish, to be mekayim mitzvahs, kiyum mitzvahs means performing, doing the mitzvahs. But he says, but let's go back to the language of Tanakh, to biblical Hebrew. Where do you find that shoresh, lohakim or likayim, in the context of mitzvahs in Tanakh? So you might remember, or you might take a look at the next line in the Ramban, and what does he say? It's a pasuk that's very familiar to us, both because we enjoy laning it, and because it's a very famous drashas chazal on that term in that pasuk, kimu v'kiblu ayud, kimu v'kiblu ayud. Perek Tes, end of Perek Tes of the Megillah is the halachic part of the Megillah, where the Megillah talks about the takana drabanan of Purim and all the different halachas and mitzvahs of Purim. Kimu v'kiblu ayudim. What does that mean? Kimu v'kiblu ayudim. It means they did the mitzvahs. So number one, what does kiblu mean in that case? And number two, you know, Drashas Chazal in that pasuk is kimu mashe kiblu kvar. Kimu v'kiblu ayudin doesn't mean they practiced Purim the next year. It means that they accepted. As a matter of fact, Chazal say, at least out there, drash, it even means that they re-accepted the whole Torah. That's the famous Gemara that at the time of the Nes Purim. Kalali said that at the time of Mamar Sinai, we had accepted the Torah, but somewhat under, at least partially under duress. Kaflein Harki Gigas. The Gemara says, but 1,000 years later, the time of Nes Purim, Kadosh Baruch Hu was not overt. The whole essence of Nes Purim
was that there was no nisim gluyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never really showed his hand. But Mordechai and Esther wrote a Megillah that put together different news stories from the last decade. That's really what it is. Of the 10,000 news stories that happened over that decade, because the story of the Megillah stretches over almost 10 years.
Lots of things happen in the course of a decade. But what Mordechai and Esther do in the Megillah is they gray out 99.9% of what had happened, and 5-10 episodes stand out in sharp relief, in clear black ink. Everything else is grayed out, and all of a sudden, you look at the Megillah just highlights a series of this episode, that episode, that episode. All of a sudden, you're like, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really running the show. So the aftermath of Nesa Purim is the Klal Yisrael recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at work all the time, even in inobvious ways. And that gave Klal Yisrael the capacity to be mekabel the sovereignty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, and be mekabel mitzvah, the system of mitzvahs, afresh, without any need for Kaflein HaGigas, without any, as Maral understands, Kaflein HaGigas means something far more profound than merely, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held a gun to our heads, which is obviously a metaphor. None of us think, we don't assume that God held a massive gun. Maral thinks, neither did he literally hold a massive mountain. He could have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do any nes he wants to, but there are Reb Chaim Friedland, the Panavish Mashkiach, and Sifsei Chaim, quotes a Maral that holding a mountain to our heads is like holding a gun to our heads. It's a metaphor for saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the issue in a far more profound way than merely saying, if you don't, I'll mash you. It was by making it so incredibly, he's pulling away all the curtains, and for a moment, everything was crystal clear. For a moment, Klal Yisrael saw it was so obvious that the real values and real costs of everything were so crystal clear for that moment, in a way that Kadosh Baruch Hu usually does not organize this world, otherwise we would not have Bechir HaChavshus. But for that one moment, everything was so clear that it would be absolutely absurd to not accept. It would have been like walking off a cliff. I mean, the cliff is there. You're hiking along an escarpment. You're hiking along a mountain ridge. Right? So there is a cliff to your right. If you're a normal, well-adapted, healthy human being, you are not interested in walking off that cliff and hurting yourself. If you know someone who is, that's not a joke, then you should help him seek help. A normal, well-adapted person who is not ideating about suicide, that he theoretically has the Bechir HaChavshus to walk off the cliff, but he won't. Because why would he possibly, why does that make any sense? So you could walk off the cliff, but of course you won't. So for that one moment, Maral said, it was everything, the spiritual realities of life were so obvious that Klal Yisrael had no choice but to accept it. Not that Hashem said, you better or else I'll get you. You better or else I'll drop this bound on your head and it'll hurt. It was like, it was just silly. Like, he asked me, do you want to walk off the cliff? Do you want to enjoy the hike? Obviously, I want to enjoy the hike. Do you want to accept the Torah or do you want to live life without Torah? For that one moment, the answer was patently obvious. So that's what Maral says is, Kafalin HaKagigas, we didn't really have a choice because it was so obvious, which was helpful in the moment, in the short term, but in the long term, 1,000 years later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got us to the point where we could vigorously, robustly embrace a life of Torah mitzvahs, even without everything being so miraculously obvious. And that was Nesa Purim. We saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of us. He's there peeking through the cracks even when we don't see him at work. And that's what Mordechai and Esther did in the Megillah. Look at the last decade of events and now look carefully with these lenses and all of a sudden you see Yad Hashem. The Kaisa said, well, and that's this passage the Ramban is quoting. Kimu v'kibla Yehudim. And again, all of this is important in its own right in terms of understanding the Nesa Purim and understanding Kaflein HaGigas. And it's also everything we discussed the last couple minutes is critically important for understanding the point the Ramban is making. Sometimes, no one in this room, of course, but maybe you have a friend who knows a guy who, when you're learning a Rashi, or now a Ramban, and he makes a point and he says, oh, Kemo Shenemar, you might know a guy who has a friend who might ignore that Shenemar and not try to figure out why is that proving the point that we're making. Or maybe even a Gemara, or Rashi on Gemara, makes a point and then quotes a pasuk, and you might have a friend who knows a guy who once had a havamina of not trying to figure out why is that pasuk, in what way is that pasuk supporting the point? Why are we marshaling that pasuk? But that's obviously absurd. It was quoted for a reason. So why did Rabban quote this pasuk? Kitam kimu v'kibul ha-yehudim.
He's saying, no, you appreciate that pasuk kipshuto, and you certainly appreciate that pasuk kidrashas chazal. It's making my point about this pasuk in Kisavo. Likayim, in the language of chazal, means to fulfill a mitzvah. But likayim, in the language of Tanakh, in biblical Hebrew, means to accept it. Not a question of, in the moment, what did I do? More fundamentally, where am I at inside? Kalal Yisrael vigorously re-accepted al pipshuto. They accepted and embraced the mitzvah of Drabban and Purim. And Kedoshas Chazal, it means not only that, but they accepted, re-accepted, and re-embraced the whole system of Torah. That's Likayim. So Rabbi says, that's what this pasuk means. Asher lo yakim doesn't mean he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. It means he doesn't accept and embrace the mitzvah's concept. And then he says, this curse is a curse not against every Jew who does, who once slipped up and didn't fulfill a halacha properly. No, it's a curse against a Jew who fundamentally rejects the premise of halacha. That's a far more, there is tshuva for that as well, but that's obviously a far more precipitous place to be, and a far deeper spiritual muck. Not just that everyone slips up sometimes. Everyone will not perform sometimes. Inside parts of Shagasim Tov Lechta. Everyone will sometimes non-comply. But to reject the underlying premise, that's a spiritually far deeper, worse place. And that, and only that, deserves this aura. So that's the Ramban's approach. He says, Rashi says Kal Tarkula, and then he's either disagreeing with Rashi or saying Pshat in Rashi, we mean the acceptance of Kal Tarkula. And then he quotes Yerushalmi. And let's figure out how this Yerushalmi fits with what he's been saying so far. Ubi Yerushalmi b'sota ra'isi. Mishnais in the 7th parak of Sota talk about brachas and klalos, because the Mishnais in the 7th parak of Sota begin to talk about various verbal mitzvos. And this is an example of a verbal mitzvah. Mishnah is talking about which verbal mitzvahs can you be yotze in translation, which ones can only be yotze in the original Hebrew. So the Bavli has a sugya, as I mentioned, or several blot about brachas and klalos. As an aside, I don't know why, because usually we avoid lengthy discussions of a horas shah that has ended. We usually say it's yeah, there's a parsha in the Torah of a chi of skila for a person or animal who violated the boundary and went into Har Sinai while it was holy. But that ended. That was temporary. It was done. And the Gemara says we're not going to discuss the details of Shar Sinai because that's not halacha. That was a Rosh Hashanah. It's not a mitzvah doros. I'm not sure why the Gemara takes a different approach to brachas and klalos, but l'maisi we do have several blot about brachas and klalos, and Yerushalmi discusses it as well. And the Yerushalmi, discussing it, talks about this particular klalos. What does Yerushalmi say? Yerushalmi besota ra'isi asher lo yakim v'chiyesh Torah nofeles. Is the Torah fallen? Lahakim, it usually means to cause to stand up, to pick up. How do you pick up a Torah? And the Torah fell, and you're picking up. What does it mean? Shami says, well, in other words, that's Yerushalmi's poetic way of asking, what does this term mean? The same problem that the Rabban is dealing with. What do you mean, lahakim? Say lasos. I know what lasos means. What does it mean? To make in the Torah. Rabbi Shim ben Yochim, ironic name for something to talk about this. Rabbi Shim ben Yochim, I assume that was his name for every circuit, so this that was his name. Happened to work well, they got to the circuit. That means the chazan. What is that? Rabbi Shimon Chalasta Omer, the Beis Nishal Matan. That's the Beis Nishal Matan, the human Beis. What does that mean? The Mar of Yehuda, Rav Huna, B'Shem Shmuel, the Yerushalmi often have a more clipped term type of Hebrew and Aramaic. So Mar could be short for Omar. Omar, Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, B'Shem Shmuel, Rav Huna, Yehuda, or Huna, or second generation Amram, quote the Rabbi Shmuel, Dover Azeh Kara Yoshiyahu, the Omar Alai Lakim. You know who Yoshiyahu was? You know who Yoshiyahu was? Yoshiyahu was the last real sovereign king of the Jewish people during the Bais Rishon period. Yoshiyahu was part of Malchus Beis David, and he was not the last king, but he was the last real king in the sense that there were several more kings after him, they were all descendants of his, but they were all puppet kings who were really administering Eretz Yisrael sort of as a province of some superpower or another. It sort of bounced around between Mitzrayim and Ashur and ultimately Bavel, and then Melech Bavel comes in and takes over directly, and Golos Yechaniah takes main Jews into Bavel, installed Sidkiyahu as his as Yechaniah's replacement, and then finally comes back approximately a decade later and destroys the Beis HaMikdash and takes Sidkiyahu into jail and leaves Gedaliah as a Jewish governor of the province. But Yoshiyahu was the last sovereign king of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. The last time the Jewish people had sovereignty until Malchus Beis Chashmonai in the middle of the Beis Sheni period. We talk about you probably heard about Yoshiyahu over the course of the Kinos. There's a Kina dedicated to him, in part because the death of Yoshiyahu was the beginning of the end. The death of Yoshiyahu was the end of Jewish independence, the first Jewish Commonwealth in Eretz Yisrael. Yoshiyahu, though, is most famous for having led one of the most vigorous tshuva movements recorded in Tanakh. The Jewish people had fallen very, very far away. Yoshiyahu was, if I remember correctly, a great-grandson of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu had been an extraordinary tzaddik. Gemara says he almost got to be Mashiach. Chizkiyahu's son and grandson were terrible Rishon. If I remember correctly, but correct me if I'm wrong, Chizkiyahu was a great-grandson, I believe. He was Amon's son. You know? Chizkiyahu, I think Chizkiyahu, Menashe Amon, perhaps, and then Yoshiyahu. So Yoshiyahu was not... was not initially so plugged into Torah Mitzvahs. And then they find in the Beis HaMikdash, they find the Sefer Torah. Apparently Sefer Torah had become a rare item. And they find the Sefer Torah, and they start to try to figure out, well, what is this? They start to look at this treasure they found. And they start to open it up, and they come across the Pesukim of the Tochacha. The Pesukim of Brachos and Klalos. Like, wow, it's a serious stuff. We gotta get back on the wagon here. We gotta get back into Shmiras HaMitzvahs. And Yoshiyahu and says, Alai, the way he describes, he says, Alai Lahakim. It's on me, because he finds this pasuk. Or Shalayakim is Divrei Torah Zos. He says, Alai Lahakim, it's on me to be making. This is my responsibility, and he takes the responsibility on and succeeds to an extraordinary extent. Not as much as he thought he had succeeded. He had not entirely eradicated Avodah Zarah, but he has remarkable success in terms of the tshuva movement that he launches. Why is the Yerushalmi quoting that? What does it prove? Yoshiyahu finds this pasuk and says, Alai lakim, it's on me. It's my responsibility to be making. What does he do? He restores Torah to its proper place. That was a Torah nofelis. So that's the second pshat. Bezin Shalmatan, it's the responsibility of Jewish leadership, of the Bezin Shalmatan, whether it's the king or the Sanhedrin and so on and so forth, it's the responsibility of leadership to ensure that Klal Yisrael recognize the primacy of Torah. Amar Rav Asi, Mishem Rabbi Tanchum, Barchia, Lomad Vilimed Vishomar V'asa. Here's a Jew who learned and taught and kept... avoid the alavin and fulfill the asein, but he had the capacity to reinforce and did not. In other words, he was personally very religious, but you had the capacity to be a leader. You could have inspired so many other people and you didn't bother. Hare ze bechlal ar. You are included in this ar. Wow. So the Ramban says, think about the second shot in the Yerushalmi.
Yidushu ba'kama azoz beis hamelach ba'nasius.
So the second Rav Shimon ben Chalapta's understanding that it has to do with leadership, with the king, with the nasi. They have the leadership position to encourage and guide people to fulfill Torah in ways that they have not. They've been avoiding, they've been non-compliant with halacha. And you get the api tutzai gamu maisa. This Jew is supposedly such a great tzaddik. Ben maisa in his own actions. He keeps all the mitzvahs. That's lovely. A yachla hafsik I turn to the other Rishayim. Turn to the page of Matmosa. But I was in a position, sometimes you're not in a position to have impact. If you're in a position to have impact, having impact on others, in other words, is not icing on the cake. Having impact on others is not the thing that shows you what nice means chasidus. Having impact on others, if you have that capacity, you have the personality, you have the position, you have the leverage, you have the relationships to be able to do that. Having impact on others is absolutely an expectation, a base level expectation of Kaddish Baruch. This is not the thing that shows you. Can I raise that bar? You could have done this, you didn't. That Ramban says, the Rishalmi says, that's what this pasuk is talking about. V'zeh karov le'inisha b'rash. And this is close to what we said. Now Ramban is sensitive to, I've been giving a pshat until now, that hakama means that you accept hashkafa, you accept the munas b'deis, you believe, you subscribe to the system of halacha, does not have Rishalmi. Does that fit with what I'm saying? Does not fit with what I'm saying? He says, well, it's close. And I'll point you to two verbs that the Rabban used. He said, this is close to what I, how do you just now describe his interpretation? A verb to use, what I, the karv le'inyan she peirashna, I was mefarish, pirish. Before, a couple lines earlier, he said, that Rabbi Shimon ben Chalapta Yidrashu Ba'akamadah. That's drash. I think, if you send it to the language, Rabbanah said, Shul Shamikra, is this is talking to every single Jew, and it's saying, are you personally embrace the system of halacha? Do you believe in what drives it? And then, see, al derech drash, an additional level of interpretation, but in this case, very coherent with the pshat, is Adar Drash Chazal said, and there's a particular relevance, not only for each person's personal subscription to the Emunas V'deis that underlie halacha, but there's particular significance for a leader and the way in which you impact other people's hakamah. So that's Adar Drash. And then finally he says, Adar Chagada, V'omer Adar Chagada Zachazen. What do you mean the chazan? He says, now let's go back to that. He says, that's al derech hagad. That's al derech drash, unconnected to the pshat. What was the approach of Rav Shimon ben Yochim? Zeh chazan. How does that answer? As many of you have been trained to ask yourself, how does the answer the question? The question Shalmi had was, v'chiyesh Torah no fellas, what do you mean you pick up the Torah? What does that mean, to pick up the Torah? So Rav Shimon ben Chalapta said, oh, it means the Torah, capital T, halacha, capital H, is down the ground. People are ignoring halacha. People are trying to halacha. You have the chance to raise it to proper prominence. So I understand the second approach, the drash karvel pshat of Shem Chalafta. He's explained the land near the Chumash. Yes, there is a Torah, no fellas. Not literally, metaphorically. The Torah has fallen from its prominence. The Torah is just as wonderful as it was, but people aren't taking it seriously enough, and you're in a position to raise it up. Beautiful. You can impact society. And what's Bahab Hashem and Yakim? Zeh HaChazim. How does that answer anything? Chiyesh Torah Nafal says, oh, Zeh HaChazim. Has the Chazim fell on the floor? When the Asher Yakim is the right Torah does. So the Rabban ends with that. It's a fascinating postscript here. Aderech Hagada, Amro Aderech Hagada, Zeh Achazen. What means Zeh Achazen? The Rabban begins to explain. She'enu Mekim Sefer HaTorah, L'hamidan Ketiknon Shal Yipol. Says, well, maybe that means Chazen, you should know. You might know from learning Mishnayos. Chazen, we use the word Chazen to mean the person who the Shliach Tzibur leads a davening. But But Chazal used the term Chazal to mean a Gabbai or a Shabbos. And the person that says Mishnah is Yuma, talk about the Chazan,
right, who is involved in organizing things. So the who's taking responsibility for the physical plant of the shul? So Rabban says maybe Zechazan means you're supposed to be making sure that the Sefer Torah are put away well, they don't fall. So if you're the Gabbai and you were in making sure that the fellow who goes that gets a Chatzav Achnasa puts the Sefer Torah away in a stable place, that the chain was closed, that the Atze Chaimer in the right spot. Again, not that you have to be breathing down the guy's neck, but you're watching, and watching from a distance, if need be, you walk over, you help him out. Or, the Sefer Torah is brought to the Bima, you make sure that when they put it down, they put it down in a stable way. And the fellow does Hagba, you make sure that everything is stable here, standing by, if need be, you help to stabilize Sefer Torah. Rabban says, maybe that's what it means. A Jew who didn't, you're the chazan. You're responsible for the safety of the Sefer Torah, for the physical stability of the Sefer Torah. You didn't, you weren't on top of that, and the Sefer Torah fell. Literally, Torah no fell. The Sefer Torah, not the Torah, a physical Sefer Torah. And then Rabban says, maybe there's another twist also to this idea of understanding al derech agada. He says the Torah in this pasuk up until now, Torah has meant the Torah, meaning the Torah that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, all the ideas, all the mitzvahs, all the averus, all the munus v'deis. But Rishim ben Yaakov's understanding actually means a physical safer Torah, either that you need to be careful that it shouldn't fall, or the Rabban says, fascinating postscript, the li nera al hachazan she'eno make him safer Torah al hatzibur laharos penekas ivaso lakol. Maybe it also refers to the gabbai who doesn't make sure to do hagba. Now they usually give the gabbai gives the kibbutz someone else to do hagba. In many shuls, many other communities outside of our own, the gabbai kibbutz not a hagba, not kibbutz given out. The gabbai many of them make to do hagba in advance before Kriyas HaTorah, the Gabbai just takes the Sefer Torah and shows it to everyone. So whether it's before or after, whether Gabbai, the Chazan, is doing Hagba himself or is organizing the seeds when someone else does it, but maybe the Pasuk is talking about the value of Hagba. Laharos p'nei k'siva solakol. For everyone to have the opportunity to see the Ksav HaTorah Kemoshim before the Masech HaSofer. I don't mind excuse you once Masech. How many of you have Okay. How many ever see Masech HaSofer? Who may here ever learn Mishnah HaSofer? Hopefully no one. Because there's no such thing as Mishnah HaSofer. Because it's a Masech without Mishnah. And you say, wow, I heard Masech without Gemara. The Masech without Mishnah is, it's not really, it's not part of Shas. It's not part of Shish HaSofer. It's a collection, they are printed in the Shas Gemara, Shas set. They're typically printed in a series of Masechtos called Masechtos Ketanos, the small Masechtos. And often, some of them are pretty large, but Ketanos in the sense that they are in terms of significance. The series of other Masechtos that are printed in the Shas Gemara at the end of the Avodah Zarah volume, there are really collections of brises and other materials put together by, usually assumed they were put together by the Gaonim. There's Abbas to Rabbi Nassan and Masechas Kusim, Masechas Sitzes, Masechas Avadim, and Gerim, Mezuzah, and so on, different topics. Some of them are very short, some of them are very long, a wide array of topics. Masechas Sofrim is one of the probably three large, really large ones. Masechas Sofrim is largely about halachas haminhagim of Beis HaKnesses, of davening, of laning. If I remember correctly, Avos Rabbi Nassan, Sofrim, and Smachos are the three very large ones. Smachos is about halachas haminhagim of Avelus. Avos Rabbi Nassan is like a Tosefta that expands vastly on Pirkei Avos. Vastly. Vast expansion of Pirkei Avos. The second parak of Avos Rabbi Nassan is up to the second mission in Pirkei Avos. And then you have Masechet Sofrim. So he quotes Masechet Sofrim, says explicitly, Magbino Sofrim, one's supposed to lift up the Sefer Torah, Hagba. And the point of Hagba is, and this is important if you do Hagba to know this, the point of Hagba is, Mar'eh p'nei k'sivaso la'am ha'omdim, li'imino, the goal of Hagba is for Jews all around the shul to be able to see some of the writing in the Sefer Torah. So when you pick it up, the point is not just to pick it up, the point is to rotate all around, so from 360 degrees, so everyone, anywhere in the shul, can at some point during your Hagbah see the Sefer Torah. She mitzvah l'cha anashim v'hanashim l'ros ha'kasev. Mitzvah all the men and women. It's apparently in Rabban shul, either they had a balcony, or else the women were able to see through the mechitz a little bit. All the men and women ought to be able to l'ros ha'kasev v'lechroa, and to bow down. That's the older minig is not to point with your finger, but to bow with your head, like a little bit of a modim. V'lo mar v'zos ha'tar sheres ha'moshe v'gomer. V'chein, no again. Rabban says, that's what it says in Masach HaSofer from the Gonim. That is practically our practice. And maybe, he says, once you're working within the approach of Shin Ben Yakim in the Yerushalmi, which is not P'chul Shemikra, Rabban already gave his approach to Pshul Shemikra. But then the additional level of interpretation on there is the Drasha, Quentin Yakim, has to do with the Sefer Torah. Says maybe it's a reference to this idea of Hagbah. In other words, maybe Hagbah is not only a Masach HaSofrim, but it's already a Yerushalmi. And I would close by suggesting the following. Hareka close a call. Even if it's not Pshul Shemikra, the context of this pasuk is Ara Shalom Yakim. We're talking about this being a particularly high level, high significant item. Hagbah? It's a beautiful thing we do in shul. Is it that significant? Apparently it is. Apparently it's not just a thing that we do in shul. Apparently it's one of the things that we do in shul. Which is remarkable. Pretty remarkable. Now, the Gemara they indicate that you get perhaps more schar for Hagbah, Galila, whichever one the Gemara is referring to, or the combination of both, than for actually Kriyas HaTorah, which is also remarkable. So probably the beginning of the understanding is maybe it is a little bit connected to the Pshat. Even though he said this is not so part of the Pshat, but Chalafta, it has to do with the power of leadership to move people forward close to the Torah. That's really very connected to the Pshat. The Pshat again being the developing the basis of Emunas Vedeus that drives a life of Targus. Maybe Rabban is pointing to us the power of Hagbah. What's the power of Hagbah? There is an Ar Zeruah that Rambam quotes. He says that Minig Yisrael, children, maybe adults also, to go kiss the Sefer Torah. Why he kisses it when they bring it, when the Chazan is moving the Sefer Torah? Why he kisses the Sefer Torah? I kiss the Sefer Torah. To show Kibbutz Mitzvah. Right? To express the Torah, Sefer Torah doesn't have emotions. But that's a way for me to express and heighten and reinforce my feelings of love and excitement for Torah and for what Torah represents. So, Hagbah, you heard the words of Torah read. The Kriyas HaTorah is Talmud Torah. It's hearing content. Hagbah is a visceral connection. I can hear it. I can hear the words read. I hear the idea. They hear the intellectual content. But to see it as a whole below, if I'm actually thinking what I'm looking at, it's not just out there. It's a chance to reinforce a sense of personal, emotional connection with Torah. To some, go through the motions of Hagbah may not help you so much. But to go through looking at the Sefer Torah B'Shas Hagbah meaningfully multiplies the impact of Talmud Torah and adds a whole new level of the yakin. It's not just literally you're picking the Sefer Torah up, you are physically reading the Sefer Torah, but the goal of it, perhaps, what the Rabban is driving at, is the goal of it is to increase the hakama. The goal of these encounters, physical, personal encounters with a physical Sefer Torah, is to increase my sense of connectedness that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me the Torah and my fealty to the mitzvahs that we read in the Torah. These are these ideas of Shmiras HaMitzvahs and of the Emunas V'Deis that drive the Shmiras HaMitzvahs and of your capacity in the future, not to underestimate your capacity to make a positive impact on the people around you, individuals around you. You should be zochah to be in a position where you can impact communities around you, and to recognize the value of, to never denigrate the value of giving a Sefer Torah kiss. Never denigrate the value of getting to see a Sefer Torah, getting to see a Talmud Chacham. Chazal quotes reference the pasuk in Treyasar, v'hayu, and I believe it's in Treyasar, v'hayu einecha ro'os as marecha. Gemara says that there's unique impact to not only hearing the Talmud Chacham Shir, but you see him. One of the Amoraim, I think it was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Toger, Rabbi Meir, he said, I became as great as I became, I gained as much as I could from my Rebbe because I was able to see him from behind. I was in a position where I was able to see him during Shir, albeit from behind. Right? He was given Shir in the round. And he says, if I would have gotten to see him from the front, imagine what it would have been like. That notion of connective, personal connectedness to Sefer Torah, personal connectedness to Talmid Chachamim, the mitzvah of Dov Kabo, that vastly enhances, not only just you take in more, and it stops being sterile, just material, mitzvahs, averes, do's and don'ts. It's Kadosh Baruch who wants this of me. And that, I would say, is the key that comes from this. Is it just, I have to, I can't, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects this of me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects more of me. When halacha isn't just do's and don'ts, but Ribono Shlom wants this of me, that's a game changer. That's a game changer, the Rabban says. That is the climaxing Aror and Baruch. Baruch Sheyakim is Divrei Torah Zos, Lasos Osam. Aror Sheyakim is Divrei Torah Zos, Lasos Osam. The Hakama, the internal Hakama that underlies the behavioral asiyah. A lot to think about. This has a lot of relevance to you right now. And this has even more relevance, Mr. Shem, in the future.